one of the leaders of the playing cohort. And at Geelong is Josh Jenkins, who joins us on the line now on Fox Footy Live. It's just great to have all these players giving us their time, presumably from their home or their car or their back garden. Josh, where do we find you today?
Afternoon, fellas. I'm just in my lounge room here in Geelong. So being able to get rid of the 18-month-old for 5 minutes and have a chat.
Jerko, first things first, that jersey in the background is out of date. That needs to be updated straight away. That's null and void.
It's got to be a Bucks top now.
I've actually... It's sitting on the mantelpiece because it's for sale. It's strategically placed there.
That's, it's lost a lot of value.
Watching ahead, I reckon it's actually... Isn't it more valuable now that he's moved on?
Couldn't agree more. There's a feeling that the... NFL trade period is the only thing getting you through this at the moment, Josh, that you're big in it, and I mean really big in it, and it's given you something to focus on.
I've always been obsessed with the NFL, but this is a whole new level, and there's no games to even watch at the moment. It's just the trades and free agency. So, yeah, it's crazy times, and look forward to getting up most mornings and getting on Twitter, because as we know with the time difference, everything's happened overnight. So, it's almost the only thing worth getting up for at the moment.
So who do you follow and what are you making of the trades thus far?
Well, I've really struggled with so much player transaction. I struggle to sort of land with one team. There's plenty of sort of follow the individual players more so, but it's been interesting. Every year free agency, we think it's bigger than the year previous, but we just forget what happened sort of 1 or 2 or 3 years ago. So no bigger move than Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. It certainly caught me off guard, but I really like it. I think it's just going to throw a little spanner in the works for the NFL.
Do you follow Tom and you now support another NFL franchise?
Well, I have been to I've been to the Buccaneers Stadium down there in Tampa Bay. It's a lovely place in Florida, nice and sunny and nice and warm. So that'll help a 43-year-old quarterback not have to worry about playing in the snow.
Josh, what have you made of this pay discussion that Nick and Jason have been speaking about for the last few minutes of the last 24 hours? Where do you sit on it as an AFL player?
Well, I mean, I'm in a privileged position. I'm, you know, if the Armageddon doomsday scenario comes and they say, well, there's no money for you guys for a few months, you know, some of us are in a position where we've had a long enough career where we've got some money behind us and we can get by. But so many of the young guys who make up the majority of your playing list just aren't in that position. And I guess that's why it's taking a little bit of time and people are getting a bit antsy, because it is taking some time and we all need to be pulling in the same direction. I think, truth be told, everyone is pulling in the same direction, but you guys have already hit the nail on the head. There's guys earning a boatload compared to guys who just get by, and everyone sort of lives to their means. So just because a player's earning $600,000 a year, they're kind of living to their means. They've got mortgages and school fees, just like everyone does, but those costs just rise. And then you've got the young guys who might have just bought their first house or might have just bought a car in their first season. So there's so many aspects to it. And I understand it needs to happen quite quickly because, you know, we're sort of, this thing's moving quite rapidly. But I guess we need to give the Players Association and the AFL just a little bit of time to sort of try and work out what's fair. Because I don't think in this sort of situation, no one's going to try and rort anyone else. It's just coming to what's fair and what's affordable.
Josh, it's so good to be able to talk to someone that has a great understanding of the landscape and understands different sports. So we really appreciate you giving us your time. What's been your understanding of the journey to get to this point? Now, you know, 20% got thrown up. Now it's 50. The coming back from the AFL is 79. What's your understanding about what is about right? And how much involvement as a player do you have in this decision going forward?
I've tried to have as much as I'm really allowed because of, I think you guys would be the same, because it's affecting all of us individually. It's affecting our families and, you know, we've just moved to Geelong, so my wife's not working yet. So it affects everyone in different ways. And I guess the way that this whole, take away the money and the AFL for a second, the way this whole crisis has evolved so fast, you know, I remember two, three weeks ago, we were sort of having a bit of a giggle about make sure you wash your hands and, you know, don't do this and don't do that. And we thought it wouldn't touch us. And then, you know, the last week we're working out whether we're actually going to play a season, and now we're not playing a season. So this thing's moved so quickly. And I guess the first time we heard about, you know, players not or AFL staff having to take a lot of a big chunk of a pay cut. 20% can hit you a lot, and you sort of grab your phone out and you do the sums on what you're getting paid, and you think, oh, you know, Christ, that's a lot of money. But the reality is there's no revenue whatsoever going into the game at the moment, and we've just got to fall into line. You know, it's just plain bad luck, really.
Josh, you mentioned the words fair and affordable before, and it may not even come down to what's fair and affordable. It may, in fact, be a little bit more drastic than that. But would you be happy if the Players Association came out and said, you know what, we're committed to getting with the AFL and we'll do whatever it takes to help this game survive. We don't care what that number is. We'll work that out with the AFL because they're hemorrhaging, we're hemorrhaging. We're all going to take massive whacks. But do you think it'd be great if the AFL Players Association got on the front foot and said, we're just going to do whatever it takes with the AFL to make this game survive?
Well, I think perhaps that message hasn't come out as enough publicly, but I think, I know that's what is happening behind closed doors. Yep. Obviously, close to Patrick Dangerfield, who's the president of the PA, and that's what's happening. I guess, as I said earlier, there's just a level of whilst we understand there's not a lot of money around, and it might come to that point that you mentioned that there's just no money and it's just bad luck. But at the moment, whilst there's an ability to pay players, we've sort of got to work through what it looks like for everyone in different, you know, on different ends of the scale. Yep. The guys that, because there will be guys who've probably lived outside of their means as players, and that's irresponsible. But they're young guys; they're feeling their way through the world, and for them to get $0 for the next 3, 6, 9 months just wouldn't be feasible. And that, to be honest, they'd be joining those people as sad as it is in the Centrelink queues.
Josh, I'm reliably told you're a coronavirus expert. You're well-read on the matter. What have you made of the way that the AFL and I guess the sporting world in general has handled what has been a crisis for sport but also outside sport?
Oh, I just can't believe how fast it's moved. And, you know, we only heard about this thing, I think it was December last year, in China. It was the first time anyone really heard about it. And it's already here. It's March and we feel like time flies, but it's only March, and it's certainly well and truly arrived on our doorsteps. And you know, we're trying to take as much or be as respectful as we can in terms of staying home and not getting out and about and following the rules. And that's been the most frustrating thing, seeing so many people my age just ignoring the rules and trying to get people to understand that this is serious. And whilst it's invisible and you're sort of waiting for something that you can actually visibly see and feel to come and get you in, as such. It's invisible, but we need to respect it because you've only got to turn on, you know, Sky News or even the sports news and you see how deadly it is overseas. And we just don't want that and can't afford for that to happen over here in Australia.
Josh, take us back 24 hours. You walk into the football club, you're spoken to by administration, I'm assuming Chris Scott. You then walk out with your bag over your shoulder and a football under your arm, knowing that you're not going to be there for a period of time. Take us inside that environment for a moment and how it feels walking out of the footy club with the unknown in front of you.
Yeah, it's really strange. I mean, I guess we likened it a little bit to going away for our off-season break. You know, you do the same thing. You take your footy away with you. But, I mean, our staff hadn't even really had time to draw up a running program or a fitness program or a weights program. You know, we're not even no one's allowed to go in gyms. So basically doing weights, we were sort of, kind of jovially talking about which young players are the skinniest and which guys are going to need to take the dumbbells home with them. And it's funny, but it's kind of, you know, it's fair dinkum at the same time. Some of these guys, literally, to make an AFL career, need to put on weight and get strong and get fit. Now, I understand there's a greater cause, but for them, that's so crucial. So it was just such a unique experience to be sitting there. And you could see, you know, Simon Lloyd and Chris Scott just really aching to be able to give us answers and information. But the answers and the information simply either aren't there yet or they're just changed by the day. So it's a difficult situation. And we'll just try and stay in contact with each other as much as we can, most likely over the phone, but we'll just do what we can and try and stay as fit as we can so that when we can resume, games can start quite quickly.
Well, I guess that's the key, and you've got to stay in contact with each other. There's going to be a lot of concern for families and home fronts and all those sorts of things, and we don't want to minimalise the enormity of what's happening, but from a purely football perspective, have you spoken to other players about what you're going to do training-wise? Is there an ability to coordinate programs amongst yourselves?
Yeah, well, even that's going to be quite difficult. I think what's been stipulated to us is that we're not to train in groups. We're allowed to have a kick and do some running with a partner or, you know, one teammate, but we're not to do anything more than that. So we'll follow the rules. And I heard our coach speak on AFL 360 last night. This is sort of not a time to push boundaries and train in groups and defy the rules. We've just got to follow the rules to the utmost, because if we don't, you know, we understand that what can happen. And look, you know, I'm obviously quite fit. It mightn't affect me, but I've got a grandma up in Swan Hill who raised me. So, you know, she wouldn't be able to fight off the disease. So I'm acutely aware of following the rules, and I think we all as players should be. And it's going to be really challenging. We had young guys who weren't at the meeting yesterday because they had their back interstate before the borders were closed. So it's really serious, and it's quite confronting, but we've just got to tackle it as best we can as a group. And, you know, we've always said this, whatever the challenge is, you know, one of the best places to be is to be involved in a footy club, and we'll get through it.
Josh, you were gallivanting around Europe, or no, not Europe, sorry, USA last trade period. That's, I think, where you met with Chris Scott. Would you be prepared to put those holidays to one side and play finals in November and December, potentially as close to Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we already understand that the reality is this thing's going to take longer than we expect, and the dates currently set in place are probably more hopeful than likely. So, you know, the players are more aware than anyone that we're going to have to play. You know, I think a lot of people have been throwing around a New Year's Eve grand final, and that may not be as far-fetched as it seems right now. So we'll do what we've got to do to get a season away. It might be taken out of our hands, but if we've got to play, you know, three games in 10 days or whatever it may be, we'll do it. That's why we've got lists of 40. And, you know, this year more than ever, it's going to be a list that can sort of get you into the finals and hopefully win a premiership more so than 22 players. So we'll do whatever we've got to do. And, you know, if we've got a month or 6 weeks, hopefully, between the end of this season and the start of next, so be it, because we understand it's probably going to affect the game for at least, you know, 2 or 3 years. So we'll just do what we've got to do and ensure that the game comes out healthier than it was before.
So regardless of what break or hiatus we're in, Josh, if it's 3, 4, 5, 6 months, once the green light's given, the players, there's no way in that time that you can replicate what a normal pre-season would do for you. And I don't think you'd be expected to, but how much notice would you need to play? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it somewhere in between?
It's definitely somewhere in between. I mean, ideally, and anyone, I don't have a fitness degree, but anyone who is across this would say it's a lot longer than that. But, you know, I've got horses who, when they have 1 week out, they need 1 week of training. So whether we're similar to horses in that sense, I'm not too sure. But I think we're just going to have to really, really rush this thing in. And, you know, hopefully we don't sort of miss too long. And this is, I guess, as individuals, because we can't train as collective, this is going to come down to the drive of the individual and how well prepared in really difficult circumstances you can be when it's time to come back. And the longer, obviously, the break goes, the less time there will be for us to get together and train, which is going to be a massive, massive challenge. I don't think we can overstate how big a challenge that's going to be. If players have 10 weeks away from the footy club and then only have sort of 2 weeks to come together and play, I think you'll see massive differences in teams that have been able to really prepare well as individuals and teams that haven't. And I guess the injuries is the other aspect. But as we've said all along, there's a greater good and we've just got to get it done.
Josh, we got one round away over the weekend. You unfortunately weren't a part of the Cats team. Is there a particular reason? I mean, you've come from another football club, high expectations, but not picked in the round one side. I know that's not the main issue but right now, but what did you make of that and what do you think of the Cats' performance?
I thought we were in a good spot at half time. I was one of the three spectators in the grandstands. There was myself, Sammy Simpson, and I think Tom Green is his name, the debutant from GWS. His family was in the box next to us, and sort of felt quite good that they were able to see the young fella play. But I think one of the Cats' real strengths last year was ground balls inside 50, and I think there was just a little bit of apprehension about going tall early in the season. And when I met with Chris over in America, I had more interest in getting to Geelong and experiencing the way that they go about business than worrying about my spot in the side. I feel like if I can, once we get back to footy, if I can get some form and play well, then I'll be deserving of a spot in the side. So I wasn't too stressed out. Obviously, we all like to play round one, and round one's hyped up, but reality is round one's worth the same amount of points as round two is. So whenever round two comes, hopefully I'll be out there.
Josh, thanks very much for jumping on and having a chat, and stay safe, and we'll look forward to seeing all your photos down the Murray.
Can I just
make
say,
sure you don't go over the border?
I love his attitude on everything, not just football, but he's got a great grasp of what's going on.
Appreciate your time, Josh.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
On you,
Josh Jenkins from the Geelong Cats. What did you make of that? He's a pretty well-read and researched player, isn't he?
He gets it. Yep. As simple as that. With his understanding of the coronavirus and the way that he's read up on that, where it sits into the AFL landscape, what's important right now, he just understands. But I must say this. They're rare in the AFL circles. And you think about where he's at in his career and what he's experienced and changing clubs and all that comes with that, compared to an 18-year-old guy or a guy that's in his prime and is in his mid-20s and earning really good coin, whatever it may be, there's not many that speak like he does and understands it to the level that he does. So please, if you're watching or listening, take that as well. You need to understand that that's not the average AFL player right there. He's a different one.
And what's his Brady jersey worth, do you think?
Oh, it's going to be worth a bit.
Six rings.
It is going to be worth
about six rings.